to come and join us. Can we have a little round of applause for Mark? Here he is. Got his... You've been volunteering as well as going to speak to us this morning. That's pretty... Oh, that's pretty impressive, Mark. I understand you've just been away for a few days. What have you been up to?
I've been working on a kind of large-scale youth event as part of a group called Spring Harvest. So we've been working with a bunch of 15 to 18-year-olds. So we had kind of about 600-700 young people a day coming through our venue. So speaking, seminars. I was in charge of the venue, so I had to deal with broken lighting rigs, blown speakers, mezzanine floors being built since last year, which meant the speakers didn't work, so nobody at the back could hear anything. You know, just little things like that.
Well, the regular challenges.
Yeah, that's right.
So what was God up to there? I know you're up in Skegness at Minehead. Sort of anything amazing, God changing lives and things?
Yeah, I just think the amazing thing for me was we did testimonies on the last day, and young people were just coming forward to the mic and just saying how God had changed their lives. And we had so many come forward just say, I believe for the first time God invests in me. I believe that God has a purpose for me. I believe that I am special. I believe that I am chosen. We had young people, you know, committing themselves to follow Jesus for the first time, recommitting themselves, but also really real life issues, you know, issues around self-harm, abuse, stuff that had never been spoken of before, that they found it comfortable to be able to come and speak to us, and support was arranged at home and counselling, and it's just really life-changing stuff for these young people.
Brilliant. Well, I know there's several members of the church that have been off serving on those teams alongside you and on different teams across those sites. It's great to be part of a bigger event like that. Mark, I'm going to hand over to you so you can lead us forward.
Thank you very much. What I'd like to do is to turn to the person next to you or the person you're speaking, been sitting with even, and ask them, what is the best compliment you've ever received? And then obviously answer the question. So, anybody want to say, on behalf of someone else, what is the best compliment they've ever received? Anybody want to share any of the best compliments they've ever received? Any of the best encouragement? Anybody? Steve, what's the best encouragement or compliment you've ever received?
If the Trinity had four places, you'd have the fourth.
That's about it. If the Trinity had a fourth place, Steve would have the fourth. Who's going to disagree with that, really? Really? Anyone else? Dan?
No, I was just going to disagree. You said who would disagree with that?
Any other compliments that people want to share? Sorry, Em.
Carla just told me that the best compliment she ever received was when her and Steve were dating, and he had a list of things that he wanted in a wife, and he said, I don't need it anymore. Here you go.
That was lucky, because that could have gone the other way, where you're like, that could have been really bad. The interesting thing is that our society at the moment is not really set up for compliments, but we're heavily set up for complaints and to criticise and to draw out the worst. I was reading on a website recently the weirdest ever travel complaints. Okay, so these aren't just people like going on Facebook and moaning about it. These people went to a representative of their travel company and complained about this. First complaint, everywhere I went, they served curry. It was so hot, the food was too spicy. I'm not a big fan of Indian food. Why couldn't you have sorted out something different for me? Said the person visiting India. In your brochure, the beach was described as being beautiful yellow golden sand. When I got there, it was more of a white. Everywhere I go, there's Spanish people. Spanish food, the receptionist is Spanish, people speak Spanish, said the person on holiday in Spain. And so on and so on. There was a long list of these complaints. And the interesting thing for me is how good we are at complaining, at drawing out the worst. And that when we receive bad service, right, straight away, I'm going to get on Facebook, I'm going to get on Twitter, I'm going to get on email. But how many of us draw out the best? How many of us, when we receive good service or we see good things happening around us, would we take the time to go and compliment them, to send an email, to speak it over them, to say that they've done a good job? While I was at Butlins last week, we work quite a lot. Yeah, so the event is held at Butlins, so we have the Butlins staff with us, and they're in charge of the lighting and some of the other sound elements. And we had a lighting engineer, and we just kind of clicked over the week. And he came running up to me and said, two of the lighting rigs have just blown. We can't light the stage. So we had to rearrange the VT and stuff, run some stuff on screens, while he scrambled up a ladder across the top of the lighting rigs, fixed them with none of the people in the audience knowing what was going on, the band not going know what's going on, and he managed to do it and get back up to the lighting desk, none the wiser. And I said, that was absolutely stunning. I said, I'm going to the office now, and I'm going to get Spring Harvest, the organisation to run it, to send an email to Butlins with your name on it to say that you did really well, because that was amazing. And he said, sorry, what? And I said, I'm going to make sure that you're complimented. And he went, you don't mean complained about? And I said, no. And the amazing thing was, off the back of that, we were just packing down one night, and he said, do you know what, you know, you've complimented me, and that just kind of opened something up for me. And then he just told me about this really horrendous situation that he was facing in his life. And he said, look, but I'm not religious, so I don't believe in God. I said, it's all right, God's not religious, he doesn't believe in himself either. So I said, but what I can do is pray. And he had a really specific prayer, and the beautiful thing was, he said, I want to have this job permanently, but there is a guy who already has the job permanently. So can you pray somehow that we both get the job? And I just thought that was beautiful, but just for a single act of encouragement, of drawing something out of people, he was able to open up to me because he felt safe. Because encouragement breeds safety. A picture I've got up on the screen is from my travels in India, and if you can't see it very well, it was when we'd gone to this village that hardly ever any white people ever go to, so the kids found us absolutely fascinating. You know, they were just like stroking our skin and thinking, you know, does this white come off? You know, it's like, which I thought was a brilliant reversal of some of the rubbish that we saw in our society. And this image of just this older lad who got his younger brother and was encouraging him to shake our hands, but holding his hand as he did it. Encouraging and comforting. Saying, actually, I'm with you in this. I'm going to push you forward. I'm going to let you go beyond your boundaries, beyond your fears, but I'm with you in this. And I thought it was just such a beautiful image of what God calls us to be like. There was a character in the Bible. And the beautiful thing about the biblical characters are some of them have such a significant impact on the church and on the way that we do things, but you have to kind of read around to different verses to find them. And I want to speak to you today about one of those characters who's called Barnabas. So Acts 2, Acts is a part of the Bible. It's after Jesus has gone back to be with his Father in heaven. So the early church kind of leaders were starting to bring things together, and people were starting to gather with them. And there was this guy, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Joseph was such an encourager, they changed his name. They said, you're no longer called Joseph, you need a new name. You are Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And other translations say that it means son of comfort, because they're so close, the Greek words. So the translation for the Bible, we lift out of the Greek. And you can see the two words there for encouragement and comforter. And they're so close together, different translators had said he's called him son of comfort and of encouragement. And I just think that's such a lovely image, thinking back to that picture we just saw, where he comforts people and encourages them. And today what I want us to think about is how can we bring comfort and encouragement? Not just in our society, but in our community here in church, in our cell groups, in our relationships and everything we do. And as we're thinking about today, how do we do that with our children? There was a study done in the late 60s, early 70s that said psychologically for a person to get over a negative statement, they needed to hear 7 positive statements. That's quite a well-known fact. The thing I was reflecting on last week, we did a specific seminar for girls. And I was the kind of lad representative in this seminar. And we just got them to list out the pressures they're facing. And every group said the negative message of the media, the negative message of advertising. So even without the 7 spoken statements, we're living in a constant atmosphere of criticism, of you will not be perfect, of pointing out blemishes, of magazines that circle the tiniest little bits of flab. You know, our children are being brought up in this. And somehow we as a community of people, not just the parents of the children, but need to step up and build encouragement. We need to break this British mentality of, you know, oh, if you're scared of something, so you're scared of a dog, I'm going to get you a dog, face your fears. You know, it's actually, we need to be getting alongside people, being with them in their fears, being with them in their discomfort and going forward. The beautiful thing about Barnabas was that he saw the best in people. So what had happened, when the early church had started, there was a guy who was called Saul, and Saul was one of the Jewish leaders, and he made it his mission to kill every follower of Jesus. That was his spoken mission, his holy vow. He was going to go out and kill Christians, followers of Jesus, and he did it, and he did it really well. Christians were spread everywhere. They went into hiding. He had people going out, like, seeking them out. It was just becoming ridiculous. And what happened? Jesus then appears before Saul and blinds him in the middle of the road. Saul's traveling to the next town to find more Christians to kill. And Jesus himself appears before Saul and says, what you're doing is wrong because you are persecuting me. Saul falls blind because he's overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus and gets taken to the next town. Barnabas is woken in the night by God and said, you know that person that's been persecuting, the one that you're all scared of, the one that if he saw you would cut your head off without even thinking about it. Basically, I, Jesus, have met with him, totally turned him around, and I want you to go and meet with him and to pray with him. Can you imagine that? The person that has committed to kill you, and Jesus saying, you need to go and be with him. And the beautiful thing for me is that happened in the context because Barnabas had already proved himself to be an encourager. He was such an encourager that his name was changed. Jesus will use our encouragement to speak life into our worst enemies, into our worst situations, into the hardest things we find at work. So Barnabas goes to meet with Saul. He sees that what God has said is true, and he prays with him, and Saul's sight is restored. So Barnabas now has this really interesting situation because Jesus has said to him, so when he gets his sight restored, he is now going to go out and become one of the main leaders in terms of bringing my word to Europe. Now imagine this situation. You're Barnabas, and you've got Saul with you, and you have to go and appear before the leaders of the early church and say, just to let you know, this lad's kind of turned his life around. And he's now going to be one of our leaders. Can you imagine that? If there was someone in Chichester who hated us as a church so much that, you know, you can't even imagine the levels, you know, but they were spouting all this stuff out about us, you know, that they, you know, oh, I'm going to kill any person from Revs. It's just ridiculous. You can't even imagine it because the situation doesn't translate very well. But then one of us was to kind of go and bring that person before Dan and Roger and some of the other leaders and go, just to let you know, this guy, I know he's been pretty bad, but he's kind of all right now, so can he be one of our leaders? But they trusted Barnabas. Why? Because he was an encourager, because he drew out the best in people. And there are people here today that have that gift, that have that ability to see beyond what is presented in terms of their actions, their attitudes, their words, what they espouse, and that could see beyond that and see the good that God has placed in them and start to draw that out. And I really believe that's our calling as a community. We need to be an encouraging community. In the midst of cuts and financial terrible and all the uncertainty and Chichester as a city taking the majority of the cuts from the county, we need to be able to stand up as a community and go, but I still believe in you, Chichester. I still believe in your people. I still believe in you as individuals. And this is how much they trusted him. He was sent to other communities to encourage them. And the whole thing is that we, as a community, need to speak well of ourselves. I think sometimes we don't do ourselves very many favours in the way that we speak about ourselves as a community. I think sometimes we can speak bad upon our cell groups, speak negativity upon our church gatherings, speak negativity upon our cell leaders or our church leaders because we don't quite get it. And actually what we need to start becoming is a community of encouragement. I'm racing through these because we're running a bit behind and I really don't want to speak for too long because it can get a bit boring. The amazing thing with Barnabas when he saw the potential is that he had seen the potential in Saul, who then became Paul, but then they ended up having a falling out. So let's fast forward to Acts 15, this is 36 to 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Paphnutaea and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. The amazing thing is, Saul would not have got to where he was without Barnabas. So Saul must have understood that Barnabas saw the potential of him and pulled it out. But when Barnabas went to stand up for someone else, Saul said, "No, I disagree." And Barnabas said, "That's fine, but I see the potential, so I'm going to stand with him." And the difficulty is when we're standing with somebody, when we're encouraging them, when we're pulling them forward, is when someone else doesn't see that potential. And we need to start to trust our own discernment and our own relationships with Jesus, that if we see that potential in somebody, if God's put that potential on them and that we're seeing it and he's spoken them about it, then we stand with them and we continue to call it out, even if what they're doing isn't quite living up to what we expect. Because the interesting thing for me in talking to young people last week was that they said, when I became a Christian, I kind of was allowed to make mistakes. But I feel like now I've been kind of following Jesus for a few years, I'm not allowed to make mistakes. I'm not allowed to get it wrong. Because we can encourage and draw it out of people in the early days, but what we need to do is learn how we carry on drawing the encouragement out and how we carry on drawing the best of them into this world. I'm a massive, massive fan of Undercover Boss. Has anyone seen that? Undercover Boss is brilliant. There's Undercover Boss USA and Undercover Boss Britain. And basically, the boss of like a massive company will don a disguise and go in at the very bottom of their company just to see what it's really like. So the British version, like they come to the end, and then what happens is they kind of pull the employees back they've been working with, often draw out the best in them, commend them, speak good things over them. And it's hilarious looking at the difference between a British CEO and an American CEO. So the British CEO will go, "Well, you know, you've been working for this company for 40 years. I can see that you've really sweated blood and tears and everything's been amazing. So we're going to start an employee of the month category, and you're the first employee. Congratulations. Here's a check for £50. Oh, brilliant. Thanks for that. That's good. Lovely. I'm going out for a meal. Thanks for that. And then you go to the American version. They're like, "Oh, I can see that you've really sewn into this company and sweated blood and tears and everything else. So I'm going to pay your mortgage off." And it's amazing just seeing these people that have just really worked really hard, and for somebody to come and notice and pull out of them and just go, "Do you know what? I really commend you." Before they get given these tens of thousands of dollars, before all this stuff gets spoken over them, the life that it brings them for someone just to say, "I noticed what you were doing there," is amazing. And I don't think anyone's ever said, "Do you know what? I'm getting complimented a little bit too much. If you could just stop complimenting me, I need a bit more negativity." But yet, for some reason, we struggle to speak those amazing things over people. And if we can start to do that, and if we can start to do it here with our own community, imagine the impact it could have on society. My workplace is very unusual. I'm sure none of your workplaces are like this, but we have a bit of gossip. I'm sure none of you have ever faced that before. And the interesting thing is that, you know, as we all know, gossip can spread like wildfire. The slightest little thing, "Oh, that person, oh, didn't do very well with that case, did they? Have you heard what this person speaks about them?" and stuff like that. So I was chatting with God about it because I was just finding it really difficult. And I felt like he said to me, "Do some reverse gossip." I went, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Speak well of them, but in a way that you're gossiping about them." And I was like, "That sounds a bit strange." So I was doing some training at County, and this person was part of the training, and they were a manager of someone I'd been working with, who I'd been particularly impressed with. So I went up to the manager, and I went, "Oh, you know that new employee you've got?" And they went, "Yeah." And I said, "They were really good the other day, like really difficult family, really worked hard, really did well. Yeah, you know, I mean, not, you know, that's just the way it is." And he was like, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." And he was like, "Oh, okay." But in a kind of way, like, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that." 3 days later, I got an email from the woman I complimented saying that manager went to her team leader and the senior manager and told them about it, and now she's got it recorded on an email how well she did. And she emailed me saying, "You have no idea the week I had, and to get that as my last email on Friday has just totally turned around my weekend. I feel like I can walk forward." That idea that we start to draw out the positivity and do the reverse. I'm going to show you a clip from the Undercover Boss I watched this week. The difference between this person and every other person that he meets with at the end is that this person did their job really badly, to the point that he had to break cover. He took his wig off and pulled his beard off and went, "Look, I own this company. You're messing up my company, okay?" So she's turned up at his house And you can imagine how scared she's feeling. And this is what happens. That's not what happens. I don't know what happened there.
Sarah.
Sorry, we're going to have a short delay while my iTunes is shut down because it decided to start playing a tune. Lovely. Smooth.
You nervous?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because you were very upset with me last time we saw each other.
You need a lot of training, honey. You don't know my product.
What?
I intimidated you?
Mm-hmm.
I want to apologize to you. It's not your fault. I'm personally coming back to the call center to train each team member myself.
It means a lot. Thanks.
You're bubbly. You're vivacious. You're cheerful. You got a wonderful spirit about you.
Thank you.
I know I can be a little intimidating at times, and I stressed you out. I'm going to send you and a friend all expenses paid first-class airfare for a week to Kauai so you can go to the Lihue Airport and look at the ticket.
And know where I'm at.
You'll never forget the name, will you?
No.
And, you know, I know you want to get into business management.
I just registered my last semester, so...
You just registered? You have any school bills?
I have my school loans, yeah.
Really? How much do you owe?
$15,000.
You owe $15,000?
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
No.
I'm paying it off.
Thank you. That's like the biggest weight off of my back, Mr. Klubeck. That's amazing.
You can cry. It's okay.
I am. They're coming. Tears are coming.
That's okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right,
give me a hug.
Last time I saw Stephen Klubeck, I didn't know whether my job was secure. I went home and I was pretty upset. Now I'm ecstatic.
Ecstatic. I just thought that was amazing. It just, like, I was actually crying when I watched that. Because I just thought, but the thing for me was, the people before had been amazing hard workers. And one of the guys had his, like, $180,000 mortgage paid off and then given another $50,000 because he was so impressed. Another person was sent to business training school, all expenses paid. All these people that had worked really hard, and this guy was like, yeah, I'm going to reward you. And when I saw this, I thought, how are you going to treat this girl who got it so wrong? And he said, do you know what? You've got it wrong, but I'm going to invest into you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to take away your stress. I'm going to remove all your debts. Because then you're free to be who you're supposed to be. And our calling is to be that Barnabas, that son or daughter of comfort and encouragement. How do we get alongside people and remove the obstacles that are causing them to stumble and then to send them out and go, go, do it, do it. You know, those are the amazing people that are going to be doing the Bognor 10K in a few weeks. You know, there's going to be hundreds of people lining along the sides. Go on, do it. Do it. Do it. As a community, let's start drawing out the best in each other. Let's start ignoring the mistakes that we're making. Let's help them people move those challenges. And let's say, go forward and find what God's called you to do. And let's do that for our community as well. So yeah, our church isn't perfect, but it's amazing. There's so much good in this room. And one of the challenges I think we face is that there's a bit of a gap between kind of certain age groups. And I really, as a 30-something emerging, has emerged, never quite sure, leader, when do you emerge? At 25, you're an emerging leader. I'm 31. No one's told me where I'm at yet. So, but I still need you guys that have been chasing Jesus for years. And what I really need is you guys in your late 30s, early 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s to keep running, but to come back and allow us to run alongside you. And I really felt that God wanted me to put a challenge out today for us to all reach inside of ourselves and start to say, God, who are you highlighting in this room, in this community, in my cell, in my church, that I need to get alongside and start to invest into? Who do I need to get alongside and love? Because we can't wait for Dan or Roger or Phil or Lou or Will or any of our kind of leaders to have the time to be able to say, right, you go and do that, you go and do that. We are an amazing church of leaders. We are an amazing church of entrepreneurs, of visionaries. And what we need to do is to step up and say, do you know what? I've seen something of God in you, and let's run together. So that's my challenge for you today.
And for you parents, one of the challenges I've set myself is that every day I'm going to tell my little daughter that she is treasured, that she is valued, that there's nothing more she can do that would make me love her anymore. There's nothing that she can do that will make her love me and love her any less. She hasn't got a clue what I'm saying, but I'm getting in the habit now. Because the way that we're going to be able to combat the negativity and the distractions and the harsh stuff of this world is through encouragement. Because encouragement bucks the trend of negativity, encouragement bucks the lies of the devil, encouragement bucks the things that are holding us back, and it pushes us forward and it says, yes, you can do it. So let's leave here today with that sense of God saying that over us, that I'm for you. It doesn't matter what you've done to make mistakes. If you make mistakes, it doesn't matter. And let's start to pray and challenge ourselves and allow God to reveal people in our hearts that we need to start to love and invest into. And for those of you guys that it's a bit of a scary thing to talk to people, then begin to pray. We had a couple come to us and say that they've committed to praying for Bibi, my little girl, from now until she's 20, every day. And that just encouraged me so much. There's no threat there. They're just going to pray blessing. So if you're a praying person, pray. Tell people you're praying for them. Give them that encouragement. But let's give each other a massive, come on, you can do it, and concentrate on where we're going.
Thanks, Mark. Mark, would you pray for us while our children return?
Jesus. God, I want to thank you for people in my life that have seen beyond what I was doing, what I was presenting, what I was saying, and saw what you had put in me and drew that out and spoke life into me. And I just want to pray now that you would begin to put on our hearts people that we've seen, people that we know, people that we don't know, that we need to be Barnabas to, Lord Jesus, that we need to be comfort and encouragement. Jesus, I pray that this can happen in our community, that we can see, you know, those older, younger, middle-aged, however we describe ourselves, but coming together and running the race together, Lord Jesus, that we would draw out the best of each other, that we would speak words of life into each other, God, and that it wouldn't be about what we do, but it's about who we are, that we would speak the best into each other. And I pray that as we go into work and into society, that we would speak the best, that we would draw out the best, that we would be looking opportunities to compliment and not complain, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mark. I throw the challenge out on Mark's behalf. Let's see if we can do that reverse gossiping thing this week, wherever you find yourselves, whether that be at school or college or in the workplace or hanging out with friends. Let's give that a little whirl. It could be an exciting little experiment, couldn't it? Great. Our children are about to return in, so if you're a parent or a carer who brought children along this morning, if you can just look out for yours and scoop them up as they return back in. We're going to pray for our four babies that we're dedicating today now, for Ernie and for Rafferty and for June and for Matilda. As I said earlier, we do this in three kind of ways as a church. There's three things that we're doing this morning. One is thanking God for the life of these children. As we heard read from the Bible this morning, we see children are a gift from God in many, many different ways, but they are a gift. So we want to thank God for that gift. The second thing is this, is to ask God to protect them and to be deeply involved in their lives, right from the word go, sowing a seed really early on. And then the final bit is the parents of the children committing to raising their children in the faith. As I said earlier, that's a decision that each child is going to get to a moment and need to make or make several times along a journey. We cannot, you're not born a Christian, it's something you choose and choose to give your life to. So that's what we're doing. Now, for those of you who are sitting here who aren't necessarily family of the four children we're praying for this morning, can I just encourage you this? One of the things that we really love, this wonderful African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. And that's something that we really want to embrace as a church, that it's not just the parents that raise a kid and brings them from early years into adulthood, but actually it takes a whole village, it takes a whole community to raise a child. So as we do this today, we are committing as a community, as a family together, into raising these children together. So have we got our
parents around? Are the four sets of parents, are they back? Are the children in? The rest of the children, why don't you come and join us down the front if you'd like to do that, so you can see what's going on. Children, if you want to come and join us, then do. Come and grab a seat down the front, and we're just going to... Matt and Amy and James and Kate, Carl and Sophie. Fantastic. Come and join us at the front. And James and Rebecca somewhere. Great. Great. So just for the sake, I guess there's people here that will be unfamiliar as well as those that are familiar. So Amy, could you introduce your little one to us?
Yeah, this is Ernie.
Fantastic. And how old is Ernie?
He's 7 months.
And has he learnt any tricks yet?
He can sit up and he can do quite a good little head shake thing.
A head shake? Very nice.
He might show off in a minute, but... Or he might just eat the microphone.
He's nice. It's microphone. Not a lolly, I'm afraid. And how is he like his father?
He's got exactly the same ears as him, so if you want to come and have a closer look. Like, and he likes eating
the I'm going to need that back, Ernie. Sorry. Great, this is Ernie. So who do we have here? James, do you want to introduce your little one?
Yeah, this is June.
And how old is she?
4 months, nearly 5 months, 4.5 months.
4.5 months, and how good is she at sleeping out of 10?
Do we believe in fate?
Not really.
I'd probably give her an 8.5.
An 8.5? So that must have meant it was a good night last night, right?
Yeah.
Good. And any bits of her character that's starting to come out, Kate? Any things that you're starting to notice about who she is?
I suppose she's like her dad, and she gets a bit overstimulated by sensory stimulation, lights, noises.
Crumbs. I think we're going to need to overstimulate James and see what happens. Don't matter. His friends are saying no. Great. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? There's definitely a part of me that's deeply intrigued by what might happen. Steve's saying move on. Okay. James, do you want to introduce your little one?
Yeah, it's Matilda.
And how old is she?
6 months.
6 months old. And what bits of her character are you starting to see? Who's going to answer this?
Rebecca.
She's really cheeky. She just thinks she's hilarious when she blows raspberries, and her older brother encourages her in that. So the pair of them are hilarious to watch together, actually.
Are we going to see a raspberry, Matilda? Are you going to do that?
You want
to lick the microphone too? Oh, better not, because it's already been done. Wow, it's lovely. And Sophie, there's a family, an entire family here. Sophie, who are you introducing?
This is Rafferty Jack. You'll notice he's a little bit older because we keep missing dedication. So it's not quite the newborn anymore, but he's 16 months.
And Rafferty, what's your favourite sport? No? Now we know Daddy's a sport addict. What's he enjoy doing, Carl?
He's quite into rugby, as you can tell.
And have you brainwashed him into the Wickham Wanderers way of life yet?
No, I try not to torture my children, thanks.
Especially, okay, great, we better get on with this, haven't we? This isn't going as I kind of planned. Great, well, we're going to invite each of these parents to make a promise on their behalf, and then there's a bit for all of us. So children, there's a bit where I'm going to ask you a question, and the answer to this is going to be we do. So you need to get yourself ready for that bit as well. And for all you grown-ups sitting out there, so I'm going to go down the line and do this. Is that okay? So if I speak first to Matt and Amy, and at the end, you're going to say we do. Children, not just yet. I'll tell you when it's your big moment, okay? Judith, don't get them doing it at the wrong moment. This is going badly enough as it is.
You're doing great.
I'm doing well. I'll press on. So Matt and Amy, do you thank God for your child and commit yourselves before God to love and care for them and to fill the responsibilities of parenthood?
We do.
Do you promise by God's grace to live your lives as an example to your child, to share your faith, your own faith in Jesus with them and bring them up in the Christian community?
We do.
Fantastic. James and Kate. Do you thank God for your child and commit yourselves before God to love and care for them and to fulfill all the responsibilities of parenthood?
We do.
Do you promise by God's grace to live your lives as an example to your child and to share your own faith in Jesus with them and bring them up within a Christian community?
We do.
Brilliant. James and Rebecca. Do you thank God for your child and commit yourselves before God to love and care for them and to fulfill the responsibilities of parenthood?
We do.
We do.
Do you promise by God's grace to live your lives as an example to your child, to share your own faith in Jesus with them, and to bring them up within the Christian community?
We do.
Fantastic. Team Barkey, do you thank God for your child and do you commit yourselves before God to love and care for them and to fulfill all the responsibilities of parenthood?
We do.
Do you promise by God's grace to live your lives as an example to your child, to share your own faith in Jesus with them and to bring them up within the Christian community? Okay, church and children, your big moments. Are you ready? This is for all of us because we all commit to being good people and encouraging these little ones, don't we? Do you promise to help and support these parents to keep these promises they've made before God and to be there when this family for this family when they need you?
We do.
We do, a resounding we do. Great. I'm going to pray a little prayer of blessing over each one of these little lives. So, Ernie, you're up first. Don't grab the microphone off me, please. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. June. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Matilda. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Rafferty. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen. Now we've got a prayer to draw all this together, which hopefully will appear up on the screens. There it is. Should we stand together and say this prayer as a community over these children? Are we all ready? Let's pray together. Lord God, we praise you, the creator of all things, the giver of life, the father of us all. With joy in our hearts, we thank you for the gift of these children, for the love and the hope, for the future which they have renewed in you, for all that you have already given and will continue to give to us through them, for all the loving care of parents, family and friends with which you have surrounded them. Please accept our thanks, our praise, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Brilliant. Well, we're going to sing one more celebratory song together. Parents, feel free to retreat. Children, you can stay down the front and have a boogie with us if you want, or go grab your mum and dad. And church, this is your next moment. At the front here, you will see that it's mirrored on both sides, but you'll see some pieces of paper and some pens for Rafferty, June, Matilda and Ernie. We would love to encourage you during this song to just come and write an encouraging word, come speak an encouraging word over their lives. And what we do is we mock this up into a lovely little thing that we give to them to take away, to put in a special box for that child as they grow up. So if you've got a word from the Bible that you want to speak over them, if you've got a picture that you want to share with them, if you've just got one word that you think sums them up or describes them, then let's have a bit of fun, a bit of chaos. Let's come and speak, sow seeds into these children's lives. I'm going to hand us over to Steve, who's going to lead us forward.
Great. So, we've only been left with the ballady ones, Dan. Yeah. Great. Shall we sing together then? There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Oh,